What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Cold Takes Pod. I'm your host, Cooper Slough, joined by my co-host, Jonah Carlson. Jonah, what is going on with you?
I'm in such a great mood today. We're literally like vibing in the middle of a hurricane right now, pretty much.
It's true.
Actually, not really. It's supposed to get here in like a couple hours, but... And in 2 days... Well, college football technically already started, but 2 days is like the first Saturday where every school in the country is playing a game, and the NFL starts in 1 week. So it's fall, football's back, and I'm hyped to talk about it on here. So, but also want to ask how you're doing, because we don't get that like every episode. Like, so, and it's been a minute since we've recorded. So what's up with you?
Vibes are mid. We just got off of, as a Marlins fan, one of the worst losses of the season, probably 15 minutes ago before we started recording, before we hit press play. So I'm in shambles. Actually, to be honest, vibes are pretty low. We're in the middle of a hurricane and the power could honestly go out any minute. Like, it's not bad right now, but the radar says it's going to get bad really soon. So I don't know. This may never air. So I'm not really sure. And the Marlins just broke my heart, which they're a bad franchise for the most part. So they lose a lot. But like this year, we all believe in Miami as Marlins fans. And so now like it really does break. Like seasons past, you were like, oh, like it was more like a neutral feeling if you lost and then like excitement if you won. But now it's like there's an expectation of winning somewhat. So it just hurts. It just hurts. I'm in pain.
It's okay because the Yankees have also had a rough couple months, but football season's starting. Blank slate.
So we don't have to worry about baseball.
Everyone
anymore.
Is 0-0. It's everyone's year until you lose week one, but it's everyone's year for the next week. So
it's true. Look forward we don't have to watch any more baseball. It's over. We did it. We made it through something.
We made it through the dark stage, dude. Yeah.
We just made it through when, like, on the Ocho, it's, like, cornhole and beer drinking as, like, a real, like, ESPN event. Like, we finally made it through that. But, yes, let's talk football. So, loaded slate for this pod. We're going to hit some college football. Not even, like, a preview of college football, but we, if you hadn't noticed, haven't recorded in a couple months, I think. And since then, there's been a lot of realignment with conference, and I think both of us have pretty strong opinions. So we'll definitely hit that. And then we're going to jump into our predictions for the NFL 2023 season division winners. So that'll be towards the end. So definitely stick around for that. But let's first hit these college football debates, disappointments. I don't really know. Just to sort of set the stage for you, Jonah, and then for everybody listening. Some of the more notable movements this offseason, Pac-12 after this year will no longer really exist. The Big 12 is sucking up Cincinnati, Houston, and UCF from the American Conference. The SEC is going to add Texas and Oklahoma next year, so they're sort of becoming a huge powerhouse. The Big 10 is going to absorb some of those Pac-12 teams, USC, UCLA, Oregon, and Washington. And the ACC right now is sort of holding strong, but there's been rumors that some of those remaining Pac-12 teams, I think we're down to like the Pac-4 when we get to 2024. So some of those teams might get absorbed into the ACC, and they're trying to figure that out. And then just to shout out the American Conference, because shout out ECU, we just stole pretty much half of Conference USA. We got Charlotte, FAU, North Texas, Rice, UAB, and UTSA. That starts this year, so things look a lot different like here in Greenville as well in our athletic program. But since we brought the idea of like this being the opening to the next pod that we drop, you've told me that you have some very strong opinions. So I feel like on this one, I'm just going to open it up and just listen and be an observer to whatever you've been harboring this whole summer.
I'm just going to say college football's dead. Like it's over. It's become like the minor league of the NFL, especially with like NIL deals and everything. Like money's flying around. You're not like necessarily paying to like recruit players. I don't think you can still do that. But like players know that if they're going to go to one of these powerhouse like schools, they're going to get a brand deal somewhere and get money, and they're going to get their bag before eventually going to the pros. And I'm also, I'm really just going to rant here for a second, but
no, let me just stop before you do. And say that at this point in college football, you definitely can pay to get players, because Miami does it all the time.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. No, it's stupid. But also it's blowing my mind how within like 1 year, pretty much within a couple months, right? It just happened like over the summer. A whole Power Five conference is just not going to exist after this season. And it makes no sense. Like, how can UCLA, Oregon, and Washington, and who was the other school?
Who's still left? UCLA.
No, who's UCLA, going to the Big Ten?
UCLA, Oregon, Washington, and USC.
And USC, yeah. How can these teams from the Pacific Coast go play in like the mid north pretty much against all these Big Ten teams? And don't even think about it for football, like, because this is what it changes each team's, like, every school sport. So like these, like, baseball and like basketball teams, right, who are playing multiple games a week, are going to be traveling from the West Coast all the way to pretty much the East Coast, and then probably having to go back just to go doing like a home game, and then coming back to do conference away games. Like, that's just so much traveling. And on the students, for football, it's not like terrible, because, you know, they go on like a Thursday or Friday, and they're flying back on a Sunday after their Saturday game. But like, it just throws off every single sport, other sport besides football. And it's just too top heavy at this point. Like, there's no room for these like smaller schools. Like, let's say Purdue is like, they're not a dominant school every year, but they're in the running to win the Big Ten and win their conference. And they're never going to win like a national championship. Their goal's not to get into the playoffs, but like their highlight of their season is to win a conference championship. And when you stack out the conferences like that, it's just almost impossible for Nebraska or Purdue and Rutgers, especially now. Like, they should just honestly join the American. They can run our conference through. But like, it just throws off all of college football. It's the minor league of the NFL, pretty much. And I'm not a fan. Not a fan.
Can I want to, I think, first agree with everything you're saying. And I'm going to touch on something like really important that you brought up after I do this. But I want to play like a devil's advocate for you. And in your opinion, what do you think is the number one reason why Texas is leaving the Big 12 to go to the SEC? Like, what's the driving force behind all of it?
Money for the school.
Right. Why does Notre Dame not join a conference?
Oh, don't even get me started about Notre Dame. I am now. Okay. Listen, you're going to send me down this hole. Okay. Before,
oh my gosh,
last year, I was all for Notre Dame joining the conference. I wanted to join the ACC or join the Big Ten. I mean, we're right around the area, like geologically, of where, you know, most of the Big Ten schools are being played.
Geographically?
I hated the whole argument, and because I also agreed with it, of Notre Dame should not be in the college football playoffs because they have a week off. They don't play that extra comp game, right? And I do agree with that. And we definitely, like, we got killed in every two, maybe three playoff games we've been in, and we definitely did not deserve to be in those games, you know, afterwards, right? But now that the conferences have changed, and especially USC, who's our biggest rival, in Michigan has been a big rival of us for a long time, it would make sense for Notre Dame to join the Big Ten rather than the ACC now. But I want to hold out. Like, I was on, like, yes, join the ACC, join a conference. Now I'm here, like, no, we need to stay independent. We can't, like, buy into what every team's doing. Let's stay different. Let's continue to play who we want to play, right?
And no, but you're now not that different. The college football playoffs, not different. Stop. You're not different. The same reason.
No, let me get...
Same... No, the same
yes,
reason
money.
That Texas left
every,
and Oklahoma
okay, every school
left is money.
Is
going to
go
better.
After and chase their money.
So what are you doing? Why are you still with... But, oh, my God. You're not in a conference. Because
but we're not going to join a conference paying, for money.
No, I'm...
I'll take our TV deal. I enjoy watching us play on NBC all the time.
You're not joining a conference because of money. These teams are joining conferences because of money. It's not like Notre Dame.
No,
is
we
right
are
or
not
wrong.
Joining because of it's, money. We have a deal with NBC to stay out of a conference, to stay independent. So that's why we're not joining, because we're getting our bag as well.
Notre Dame is not joining a conference because of money. Texas, Oklahoma, whoever is joining a conference because of money. What's happening is not like it's not. I'm not saying, I'm not even arguing the conference part.
Okay, then that also makes us different
football,
then.
No, stop.
There's a difference right there. We're not joining because of money, apparently.
College football is falling apart is not, I mean, it's indirectly because of the conference realignment. It's directly because of money. And that's what's ruined college football. The NIL, the reason that that's been such a fail is because when they made it legal that
there's
no
regulation on it. I agree.
Exactly. Yeah. They just opened the floodgate. There was never like a mm-hmm. phase in. It was like, you can do whatever. And at this point, they're trying to like take power back. And you can't do that. You can't give the players like 100% power and then try and like pull it back. You've got to like keep it under control and gradually give them more, but you can't like give them everything. So that's a whole, like, I could go deep into that. I had to write multiple papers on it for some of my sport management stuff. Like, that I can go deep into. That's not what's important. High college football is jacked, right? Like, I'm with you. I'm in the same place that college football for me is not as fun right now. The reason I personally grew up loving college football, I mean, like, my number one team for my entire life has been East Carolina. So we were not always in the American Conference. We started in Conference USA, and then we left and went to the American. So, like, I've seen two conferences with ECU. There has never been a point that ECU in our conference has had, like, crazy games. Like, we're not, like, it's not like the SEC where, like, every week could literally determine who makes, the playoffs. Like, we're, like, a mid-major conference that just is fun, right? But the reason why, like Conference USA to some degree was interesting, and the reason why ECU schedule was interesting most years when I was growing up liking them, like not going to school here, was because we played teams that were close to us. We played Charlotte, we played South Carolina, we played NC State, we played UNC, we played App, we played Virginia Tech, we played Virginia, we played Marshall. Like, conference, non-conference, whatever, all these teams were like geographically located within like driving distance of us. Every one of them, for the most part. At this point, like, that's what made it so deep, is that like my house was like an ECU house. The house to the right of us was a state house. And when ECU and NC State played, like, we hated each other for a couple hours. Like, that's what makes college football amazing. That's why like rivalry week exists. Between like,
yeah, no, and it doesn't exist anymore.
It's all in-state teams.
Yeah.
There's no rivalry like,
yeah,
across the country. Auburn, Alabama, in-state. NC State, UNC, in-state. Miami, Florida State, in-state. Like, all of these, it's all in-state. And it's just, it's not going to be that way anymore. And I think if you're like a casual observer of football, and every single week is like the juggernauts of the SEC, and you're going to add two more really good programs in Texas and Oklahoma, and you don't care like who wins and loses necessarily as much as you just like want to see a good football game, this is amazing for you. This is like your dream come true, that like there's super conferences now, and it's not going to be like these random small, it's like the days of like Northwestern versus like Rutgers, like you were saying, like that, mm-hmm. like that's going to be gone, because we're just going to see like the equivalent of Michigan and Ohio State every single week in some conference. But that's what made college football so amazing, was that we got that game one time out of 365 days.
It's going to become oversaturated now.
100%.
Like it's just not even going to be exciting. It's just like, whatever.
100%. And that second point, yeah, that you brought up that I wanted to just hit on before we transition it into the big brother now of the NFL, is that you were saying how we're thinking about it in a football like lens, but like this affects every other program like sport.
Yeah, and that school, and it just doesn't make sense for every other school to be traveling like this.
100%. And I think a lot of the time, off camera, we talk about the pod, and we're like, "What's our angle?" And neither of us played a sport past high school. Neither of us have ever done anything in sports media, broadcasting, nothing. So in terms of like the like air quotes inside scoop or like the professional opinion, like that's not what you get here. But I really think in this case, like as someone who works now in college athletics, like this now affects like my job. Like very,
yeah, bring us something.
Very, very like personally. It's just difficult. Like I, with the basketball team, like now knowing that we have to be in Texas like four times. And at some point, like,
yeah,
you're not a student athlete. Like, not saying I compete at all. Like, those guys who are on the team are doing athletic stuff a lot more than
me. Just to preface, Coop is he's a manager for the basketball team here.
It's true. I'm incredibly essential to the success of, not really. I'm not that important. But I travel with the team on road trips. And, like, I'm not sure what's worse is if we have to go back to Texas to play, like, North Texas and then come back to Greenville. And then we go back, like, 2 days later to go play Rice and then come back. And then we go back to play like SMU and then we like that. Or if we just camp out in Texas for like 2 weeks and just hit everybody like while we're there.
But then you're missing 2 weeks of class.
That's both of those are terrible.
And for you, it's like you're not even playing. Like, you know, you're a student first, like 100%. You're just doing the managers.
And
I have
lived in Eastern North Carolina my entire life, except for 9 months when I was in South Carolina. And I love like this state. And one of the most incredible things about North Carolina is that I think we are the best basketball state in the country. That is like college basketball, at least. Definitely not professional. But I think college basketball, we are historically the best state in the country. That's just what I grew up in a time, and so did Jonah, where NC State, UNC, and Duke were all very, very good teams. And like we lived in that area. And so college basketball has been my favorite sport since I was a kid. It will continue to be my favorite sport until I die. I love college basketball. However, football, you were right, is a little bit more manageable because even if you have to fly from California to, let's say, New York, let's say like USC or whoever, who's still in the, I got to go look now. Let's say Oregon State. Oregon State is going to be in the Pac-12 in 2024. Let's say they have to go fly and play Syracuse, and they join the ACC, right? So if Oregon has to fly...
Yeah, that's terrible.
Let's say, just even hypothetically, if Oregon has to fly to New York, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, not awful. Maybe they take up a Thursday. But for like men's basketball or like soccer or track and field
or baseball, where they're playing three games back to back.
Multiple days, like school days a week. And that doesn't include that day that you travel. If maybe you play a night game and you have to stay an extra night and you leave the next, like there's just so many variables that you don't know because you're just not sure what like networks on TV are going to schedule you for time. And what your hotel is going to be like. There's just so many things from a logistical side of working in college athletics that you just don't know until a week before. And it's just going to be really, really difficult. And I feel for the staff and the players of all these non-football teams that are like going to do these crazy road trips. Like it's just going to be insane. And it's just sad that there's going to be amazing football on every single week starting next year. And that's awesome. I guess that's, I think what they're going for in the NCAA is that it's like a top 10 matchup every single week. And like, it's just going to be amazing. But I think I would sacrifice that for how it's currently been, where like we have 8 or 9 midweeks and you have like the rivalry week of just the most incredible, like hatred of teams that you've ever seen in your life. But that's just going to be gone. And that sucks. I think that's just where I'll leave it.
Yeah.
Now I'm in a bad mood. The Marlins losing really put me off. And now going on that, Can we talk about the NFL?
Yeah. NFL's definitely not dying.
Yeah, hey, for sure. NFL is back.
NFL is here to stay.
NFL is back. This is dropping Friday. You guys will hear this. So in 6 days, that sounds right. In 6 days, the first NFL game. Is it Lions at Chiefs? Chiefs at Lions? Which way is it?
Lions at Chiefs.
Lions at Chiefs. So less than a week for you guys, the NFL season kicks off. We last year or 2 years ago? Last year we did our 2022 division winners, and I have not fact checked it, but
I don't think we were right. I think it was a little sketch.
It sounded really good. I said that the Vikings were gonna win the NFC North.
You cooked. I did say that
I was really confident in the Broncos winning the AFC West. So some things went really well, some things didn't, but that's just how this goes. We're not sure what's gonna happen until February. So oh well. But 2023 division winners. We're gonna start in the AFC North. So starting with a tough one, because I think there's a realistic argument that you can make for three of these teams to win the division, and the Steelers haven't had a losing season under Mike Tomlin. But an AFC North winner.
All right, I originally put the Ravens. Like, that was my first thought.
Great idea.
And the only reason was because I don't know about Joe Burrow's timeline with his injury. Like, even if he misses like maybe two or three games, those two or three games could be really influential in such a tight division that I believe the AFC North is going to be. However, Joe Burrow is still expected to play week one, and I think the Bengals have a better team. I mean, they went to the AFC Championship game the past 2 years. I think they're returning most of that same team they had the past 2 years, and it's going to be tight, though. Like, I would not be surprised if the Ravens pull it out, but I'm going to stick with the Bengals.
I think there's a realistic chance that you see the three non-division winners of this division be the three wildcard spots in the AFC. I think all four teams in this division could make the playoffs. The Browns are going to push a lot of teams. Watson's going to be a lot better than last season. I have the Ravens. I believe too much in Lamar Jackson. They have a new offensive coordinator, new offensive system. You bring in a ton of weapons for Lamar Jackson, and that was his knock so far in his entire career, is that he's a great athletic talent. But I think the year he won MVP, like, Willie Snead was his number one wide receiver. So, like, I mean, he's doing that with, like, sort of below average talent as his skill position players. And so now you've got, I mean, Rashad Bateman was your number one last year. Now he's your number three or four. You draft Zay Flowers, your first round pick. You spend incredibly, valuable draft capital on a wide receiver to help your star franchise, potentially top five quarterback, win healthy. You sign Odell, awesome veteran presence. Your defense is still your defense. Lost a lot of help in the secondary, but I trust in the Ravens. I think the Bengals could easily win this division, to be honest. But every single season, it just feels like to me, and this could be a fact check, that the Ravens are in first place in the division, and then Lamar gets hurt, and then the wheels fall off. But when Lamar's healthy, the Ravens, I think, are in first place, maybe since he's entered the division. Again, it would need to be a fact check, but that's in recent memory, the Ravens are in first place. They're always hovering around like 6-2, 5-2. Then Lamar gets hurt with something stupid, and they fall into the wild card. So as long as they can preserve Lamar's health, I'm going to go with the Baltimore Ravens. AFC East, I'm going to jump in here and throw it out. Miami Dolphins win the division.
Not a bad shout. I mean, I can see this going three ways. Between the Jets, Bills, and Dolphins. I think it's really a toss-up. I think it might be a struggle for these teams to win 10 games just because they might split each game they play against each other. It's going to be that tight, I think. And I'm going to the Jets, though. I believe in Aaron Rodgers. I think Rodgers is that guy. The Jets have young talent. And Garrett Wilson, especially, like, previous AFC Offensive Rookie of the Year. They got Breece Hall as their running back. They got a quarterback now in Aaron Rodgers. And I think the Jets can do it. But, I mean, it's a toss-up. Jets by one game.
I think Miami is the team that's not being talked about enough. I actually hate it. Like, I'm not even going to be like, oh, I hate the Jets pick. I think they finished third again in the division. We talked about it earlier in the summer, how I think that the 2023 Jets are going to be pretty similar to the 2022 Broncos. Aaron Rodgers last season in Green Bay was terrible. We said all the exact same things about the Packers team last year. They have Aaron Rodgers. They have an elite running back. They have good wide receiver talent. They have young wide receiver talent. They have a good defense. Like, we saw the exact same things, and the Packers went under 500 in a worse division. So I don't believe it. Not, I don't believe in Aaron Rodgers. I just think it's going to be a repeat of a 2022 Broncos, a team that looks really, really good on paper, but doesn't mesh on the field. Bills lost too much. Bills lost too much talent on defense. Josh Allen's window is closing to win a Super Bowl. He's playing in too tough of a division this year. Patriots are rebuilding. I'll take Miami. Let's go to AFC South. Can we just say this at the same time? Are we ready?
Yeah, Jacksonville Jaguars.
All right. Yeah, Jaguars. Definitely Jaguars. I really don't think this needs...
Landslide.
Yeah, I don't think this needs too much. I think the other three teams are like floundering around, and Jacksonville's got it figured out.
Yeah.
Do we have further comment, or are we just Trev is him?
Colts barely missed the playoffs, but they'll finish second. But yeah,
barely missed.
Jaguars, yeah, they're running with it. Yeah,
didn't know that the Titans left the division, but all right, AFC West. I cannot tell you how badly I wanted to take Denver, but I can't. I can't do it. I'm not betting against Patrick until I'm proven wrong. So,
good man. Chiefs in a landslide.
There's no talent on offense. There's nothing. There's not. I mean, it's just Patrick and a above average offensive line.
There really wasn't last year, and they messed around and won the Super Bowl.
What I'm saying, but there's less. There's actually less this year than there was last year.
Patrick Mahomes is, I think we can make the comparison to Tom Brady. You just don't bet against him.
Yeah, like I'm not.
Like you just don't.
I think that the Chargers, on paper, are the team to actually win the division. But I'm not going to be betting against that bad man Pat until I'm proven wrong this season. So just know that for me, it's like Chiefs asterisk mark, and then in like the little footnotes, it does say Los Angeles. But if for my official, it's Chiefs, but like my little asterisk mark is going to be LA. NFC North. I want to hear yours, Jonah. I want to hear yours. Let me hear yours, and tell me why it's just. You know what? Go ahead and tell me why it's going to be the Detroit Lions hoisting the NFC North crown this year. Go ahead and tell me.
The Detroit Lions. I'm actually picking them. Like I do think like they could do it. Like 100%. I think they have the team to do it.
Why?
Okay. The Bears are going to be the Bears. Right.
It's true. Justin Check that Fields one off.
Is not him. Like, whatever. That's legit a running back at quarterback. That's not Lamar Jackson. That's 100% running back playing quarterback. Who's the Packers? It's just they lost their quarterback. I mean, they had a rough year last year. They didn't really make any moves in the draft offseason that much. Is Jordan Love a good quarterback? I really don't know. Not good enough to win the division. The Vikings, I mean, they ran away with the division last year. But I think, I don't know, dude. I've always been like a low-key like Kirk Cousins hater. I did watch the quarterback documentary on Netflix though, and I kind of love Kirk Cousins now.
Yeah, actually, he was really solid on quarterback.
Yeah, I'm gonna keep with the trend though, and keep hating on him. I Lions, it's low-key like a biased pick. Like Lions are like my second team. My grandma was big Michigan, like Detroit fan, so I rep the Lions for her, and I think they can win the division. I don't know the last time they won the division. They haven't won a playoff game in like since forever ago, but this is their year.
I'm searching last time Lions won the division. It was.
I don't know if Matt Stafford even did it.
1993.
Yeah, no.
So definitely only like 20 years before Matthew.
30 years ago. They've not won the division in 30 years.
Let me tell you why the Green Bay Packers are going to win this division. I think, honestly, I think if you put, let's say, Goff, let's just take Goff away from the Lions. I would say that we could agree that Goff is a average to slightly above average quarterback out of everybody in the league. If you put Jared Goff on the Packers and he was your starting quarterback, would you pick the Packers to instead win the division?
Yeah, because Teddy Bridgewater would be the Lions quarterback. And
No. We'll say
he
we'll
does say, not win anything.
No. That's super true. What if we clone Goff and we put the second Goff on the Packers and the Lions still had Jared Goff, but so did the Packers? Would the Packers win the division?
I would still go Lions.
Interesting. I think that's the only weakness that the Packers have. I think that's it.
Is their quarterback?
It's just the quarterback. They have an above average offensive line. They have one of maybe the best 1-2 running back punches in the league. Aaron Jones and AJ Dillon both stay there. They both signed again. You still have one of the best defenses in football. Kenny Clark is still there. Rashawn Gary is still there. Jair Alexander is still there. Eric Stokes is still there. Darnell Savage is still there. And they spent their first round draft capital on a linebacker, Lucas Van Ness. So I think this defense can really do something against the Vikings. Have a good offense, I won't lie. But two other offenses that remain relatively unproven. Lions scored a lot of points last year. Can they do it again? Maybe it was a fluke. We don't know. The Bears, a projected good offense. They traded for DJ Moore. Like, they could be okay. We don't know if Fields is going to really take that leap. I think they have great coaching. Like, I think the only flaw that I can see in them is their quarterback. And I think a lot of the time, as much hate as the Packers organization took for it before, for drafting Love instead of like anything on offense to help Rodgers at that point, I think Love got one of the best positions that you can be in. And I think he's in the same position as Zach Wilson is right now, or he was in the same position as Zach Wilson is right now. We are getting to sit 2, 3, 4 years behind one mm-hmm. of the behind one of the best quarterbacks to ever play the game.
He got the Rodgers Favre.
And that, you know what? That makes me a little bit nervous. Brett Favre didn't treat Aaron Rodgers that well. I think at the time, Aaron might have seen the Jordan Love pick as like a slight to him. And maybe not have treated Jordan Love very well. So I don't know how much like mentorship actually happened in Green Bay. But I think if Love could have even picked up anything from Rodgers during his time there, I think that was a really good situation to sit behind in. You saw the Packers play really well. You were a part of that. You were part of playoff games, part of playoff preparation. You are around a deep group of veteran players who have won, who have been successful before, who have lost, who hated losing and want to continue winning, who aren't used to not winning the division championship. Like, I feel like Love just walked into a really good situation behind a good offensive line. They have a good run game, which is how you help first-time starting quarterbacks, is by running the football, not making them throw for 400 yards a game, Trevor Lawrence. And I feel like the Packers could still run this division. Call me crazy, but feeling okay. NFC East. Are we taking Eagles? Is that what's happening here?
Yeah. They had such a good draft. Their team has not changed. I mean, they went to the Super Bowl. And then they added pieces in the draft where they had the 9th pick from Chicago. The Bears like gave up the 1st and the 9th pick. Like, I don't know what they were doing. They clearly don't want to win anything. They got Jalen Carter from Georgia, and then with their 30th pick, they got Nolan Smith also from Georgia. And then in the 4th round, they drafted Kelee Ringo, who's a quarterback from Georgia. Georgia's had the best defense in college football for the past 3 years. So great young guys to add to their defense. I think you can't bet on the Cowboys. Dak Prescott's not him. The Commanders are unproven. I mean, Sam Howell could turn out to be a really good quarterback. They got Terry McLaurin's still on their team, but like, who else is really there? I think the Giants can honestly give the Eagles a run for their money. Like, they got a good offense now. Like, they can.
They have a good.
Daniel Jones
they have
has
a good offense.
Yes, Daniel Jones is a above average quarterback.
Name two Giants wide receivers.
Saquon Barkley.
Name two Giants wide receivers.
Sterling Shepard. Kenny Galladay's not there.
I don't think Shepard plays anymore either.
They drafted a receiver.
He does.
But they have Darren Waller, who is a like top four tight end.
Nope. Give me one other Giants wide receiver. Shepard does play there.
Darius Slayton, Paris Campbell.
Oh my god.
Isaiah Hodges.
These are
looked up their roster.
These are your weapons.
But
oh my gosh.
These are better weapons than the Denver Broncos have.
That is not true. Oh my gosh, that is not true.
These are better weapons than the Kansas City Chiefs have.
That is true. That is super true. Yeah, but they got Danny throwing the ball instead of Patrick. I actually
Broncos. Cortland Sutton is not him. Jerry Jeudy is unproven and currently hurt with a hamstring injury.
Jerry's not even playing week one right now.
And I think our other two wide receivers are hurting out for the year. Like, I can't tell you who the Broncos has starting because we get hurt every week.
I know I just hold on.
But
I
it's
know,
Eagles. It's Eagles.
I'm
not trying to defend the Giants. It's not. It's Eagles.
It's not.
Who is it?
It's Dallas.
Is it the Cowboys?
It's Dallas.
Is it the Cowboys?
Dallas. It's their year. Cowboys. We them boys this year. It's their year. It's their year. Why? I don't know. But there's something in the air. Something floating around Dallas. Something telling me that if Dallas doesn't have a good year, Dak Prescott is going to be playing for a different team. Mike McCarthy might not have a job. Jerry Jones might die of a heart attack. Like, I think a lot of bad things could happen in Dallas if they don't have a good year. They have a stacked offense.
I think that's all more likely to happen if they have a good year. Because Jerry Jones is, like, immune to this by now. If he sees them having, like, a division, dude might die on the spot just being shocked.
If the Cowboys are within five games of first place, Jerry might have a fit.
Exactly.
I just, their defense, I mean, their offense is just absolutely stacked with talent. They have one of the best defensive players in the game at Micah Parsons. They have, in my opinion, one of the most overrated cornerbacks in Trayvon Diggs, but he's still that guy, apparently. He's still making Pro Bowls out here, and he's going to lead us. I'm not saying us. I don't want to associate with the Cowboys, but I feel like, but like, just as my pick, he's going to lead us to the promised land of a first-round exit, but he will make the playoffs.
It could be another team that's really good on paper and doesn't pan out. So,
oh yeah, for sure.
But I can't hate. I mean, this is your pick. These are predictions. Like, it's not. Yeah.
These are literally predictions.
The Cowboys are not winning the Super Bowl in my lifetime, though. I will stand by that.
These are predictions on a podcast that is literally called Cold Takes. So I feel like people can just get over it.
Yeah, we're living up to our name.
NFC South. Do you want to take this, or do you need me to?
I need four coins to flip because that's really where it's going.
Even bring up a team from Louisiana, we're going to have an issue. Don't do it.
Why would I bring up him? Him. I say him as in Derek Carr. They're not winning nothing.
No.
Is Desmond Ritter the Falcons starting quarterback?
Affirmative.
Or did he get beat by Taylor Heineke?
Ritter will play against the Panthers week one.
Okay. Yeah, no. Okay, it's not happening. I think Baker was really good on the Browns. I think they messed up trading, I'm not going to lie. But not going to do anything on Tampa. They just have no one else. Well, they got good receivers. No, Tampa's not. They couldn't even do it with Tom Brady last year.
Definitely not the Saints. They have a losing record with Tom Brady, I think, so.
This just leaves me with the Carolina Panthers. I don't know how this happened.
All roads lead back to your 2023 NFC South champion Carolina Panthers.
I'll let you explain why. Like,
this team is absolute garbage. Do not be fooled.
This is like going to be like the third time in 4 years that NFC South makes the playoffs with a losing record.
Do not think that the team that hosts a playoff game for winning this division is good. Whoever it is, they will lose in the first round. But I just, I mean, as a fan, like, I picked the Panthers last. I actually think I picked the Saints last year, and the Bucks won. So that was pretty big of me to pick my least favorite team in football. I just believed in them. I'm not doing that again. This is going to be a super tight race. We're not going to know the winner of this division until week 17.
Week 18.
Oh, yeah, actually week 17, because the Panthers have to rest their starters for the playoff game in week 18. So.
Yeah.
So we're going to be locked in. Obviously, a lot of our, I mean, preseason struggles was offensive line. People were saying it looked terrible. I know it's not. I watched it last year. We have an above average offensive line. We spent draft capital on the offensive line. It's not, we spent a lot of money in free agency to pick up Austin Corbett, who won a Super Bowl with the Rams, and Bradley Bozeman, who played for the Ravens with Lamar Jackson in a run-first offense, and he's a really, really good run blocker. I've talked about that already when we drafted Bryce Young on one of the pass pods, but don't need to get into it again. Offensive line is not bad. Skill position players, I think, is a group of mid. Like, nobody excites me, but they're all, like, good veteran pieces to give a rookie quarterback, plus like some exciting like rookie wide receivers could be fun. We went out and we did something that I am very anti and gave a lot of money to a running back, bringing in Miles Sanders. Fine, he's a good running back, take pressure off Bryce Young. We have a young team that's very affordable right now, so we can give money to the least valuable position in football. Fine, whatever. Our defense is going to be good though. Like, I need you to like pencil that in, mark it down, whatever you got to do. Our defense is going to be good. And that's not to say that like we're gonna be like the like 70 Steelers, like steel curtain. Like, no, we're not. But we are going to be an above average defense, and we will upset a few teams on the schedule, not because of Bryce Young or Miles Sanders, but because of our defense. And I think our defense wins. No, offense wins games, defense wins championships, and in this case, they win division championships. Panthers will win with like a 9-8 record, which again is like trash. Like, again, this team is garbage. Do not think that like the Panthers' future Super Bowl bet at probably like plus 5,000. That is not the bet to make after hearing this. But the division bet, Panthers are plus 300, plus 400 right now. Nobody's favorited, by the way. Like, most of the divisions have, like, a favorite to win. Nobody in the NFC South is favored. The Saints are the best odds at, like, plus 110. Nobody's favored. The Falcons, by the way, have a higher odds than the Panthers to win the division. As a fun fact. That tells you how much I look at it. Last division, NFC West. This one's actually kind of tough, to be honest with you.
Dude, the NFL is stacked this year. Like, there's so much talent. It's actually insane. There's three teams each division that can just win it.
The NFL is stacked.
Dude, I understand why guys are holding out, because they want to get their money. Actually, no, that's stupid. I hate all that. The Cardinals, okay, who's going to be their quarterback? Who's the guy that we were talking about, like, before we were recording?
It's,
Kyler's hurt or something right now. Yeah, Clayton Tune's going to be their starting quarterback from Houston.
Josh Dobbs. Josh Dobbs is also there. But Clayton Tune is funnier.
It should be Clayton Tune from Houston. The Cardinals are going to have the number one pick.
Caleb Williams is going to continue wearing a red jersey.
Ew. Yeah, he did that in Oklahoma and USC.
He's just never going to escape.
That trend on. Yeah. Who do you have?
See, I have Seattle by like a game.
Really?
I think San Fran was going to be the pick, but I just, right before we got live, I found a stat that says that Kyle Shanahan is 16-30 without somebody named Jimmy Garoppolo as the starting quarterback. If you like extrapolate that to a season, that would be like about a 5-12, 6-11 record, which is why you can't do that with numbers. That's not how stats work, because they're not going to finish that bad. But I think their win total right now is 10.5, and I think I would take the under. at like 10. Like, I think that they, like, you can also bookmark that. I think that the exact record of the 49ers this year is 10-7. They have to travel, like, they have the most air miles, but like, of travel out of any team this entire season. They play a lot of games where it's like a Sunday game straight to a Thursday game. They play a lot of primetime, which in terms of the schedule, like, hurts you as a team on rest, unless you're going from like a Sunday to a Monday. That's the only way it can help you. Pretty much everything else hurts you. And so they just have a really brutal schedule. They were one of the better teams last year. So the NFL not like rewarded them, but like rewarded us as viewers.
You get to see them every night and they play harder teams. Yep. Yeah.
They just kind of shot themselves in the foot. Not their fault for being good. That's obviously the goal. But I think just this year in particular, Seattle has a little bit of an easier schedule. Their travel is not as far. This is year two of Geno being the full-time starter. They drafted for their offense with Smith and Jigba, right? Was their first round pick. Who, by the way, broke his hand like 2 weeks ago and has already kept passes again.
And his
he's gonna be an absolute beast. Their defense played really, really well. Ohio
State product, but I can't.
Yeah, but he's balling. Their defense played not like fantastic, but like good enough to win games. Which in the past from Seattle was like every game had to be a shootout because they had no defense. But they can actually like do something on defense now. Bobby Wagner's back in Seattle, so that's just like a breath of fresh air. Not like that really affects how many wins they're going to get or not for me.
Dude, that's actually like, that keeps our childhood alive a little bit longer.
Bobby's back in Seattle, so all of our legends aren't dead yet. And I just feel like the Rams could be really, really fun, but they sold their entire team for that one Super Bowl, and they have no more cap space.
Yeah, and they don't, everybody's old. They didn't do anything last year, and like, did they do anything in this offseason to get better? I don't think so.
No, they didn't. They literally just lost like Ramsey. That was their whole big offseason. Yeah, and he got Ramsey instead of LA. So they,
who is hot? Maybe a cold take. I don't know. Hot take. Whatever. He's below average corner now.
That I think would be a cold take for like 90% of people. Though he's hurt right now, so I can't.
Yeah, I don't think Ramsey's
I can't make a judgment. But yeah, the Rams didn't improve.
So we can back that up.
Hey, the Rams didn't improve. I got Cooper Kupp fantasy, so. Hopefully that's the only person that Stafford sees on the field. And there's going to be a couple games where if Kupp stays healthy, he literally could push 300 yards in a game. I don't think that's an exaggeration, which is fun for fantasy. And just like as a fan, just seeing that, that doesn't mean they're going to win any games. I don't see it for the Rams. I think the Rams and the Cardinals are going to be like kind of fighting for last place because Clayton Tune might end up being him. And Matt Stafford can't even like he can't even bond with his younger teammates or something. Like, I don't even know what's happening in LA. It's just,
dude, that's crazy. Literally, that's,
he like can't talk to them because they're like on their phones because he's like a boomer. I don't really know what's happening there, but like he's just not doing well.
Dude, just play like 8-ball.
Stafford needs to get what's the Penguin game, bro? Knockout.
Yeah. He said that he'd come out like into the locker room and players be like, used to be playing cards and stuff. They just play game pigeon on your phone with them.
You can play Uno.
Basically the same thing, dude.
Play Uno on your phone.
Play Uno.
And I think last to sum it up, Seattle has the number one quarterback in the league. Colton Ehlers is a part of their organization. And I feel like, honestly, I think just because he suffered so long with ECU, and he just saw so much crap and took so much heat for no reason. I think like this is like God's reward to Holton for all of that trial is going to be playing in a playoff game this season. Part of the 12th man this year, for sure. Lock it in.
Well, I don't think I ever said my pick. I agreed with a lot of what you said. It's going to be tight. I'm going to go 49ers by a game. And just because I think they have a better defense than Seattle. And I think offensive talent's roughly the same. Dude, be honest, was Brock Purdy's like 7-game stretch last year a fluke?
I don't think it's going to happen this year. I think the 49ers are going to be really good with him, but like he doesn't need to be good. Like,
but like was is the peak of his NFL career going to be the second half to the season?
Yes. His rookie year. And not maybe not like okay. his, not his like overall career. Like not saying that like he'll never win a Super Bowl. Like I think Brock Purdy as a game manager with elite offensive and defensive talent could win a Super Bowl. He could be like the Peyton Manning of the 2015 Broncos. Like that's not like a good comparison,
yeah,
but like
yeah.
obviously not comparing like Brock Purdy and Peyton Manning, but like that sort of role as like you have a like number like top five all time defense, and then you just like
you're
do
not,
enough on
there's
offense.
No pressure to score every single drive,
right? And I
like you don't you just need to manage the game.
Yeah,
you don't need to go out there to do
right.
Crazy.
Like I think
yeah.
and like that's possible.
But also he, yeah, he was also like the last pick in the draft for a reason. Like I. Scouts get it wrong, right? I mean, dude balled out last year. I'm picking him to be the starting quarterback of my division winner here, but I don't know. It's gonna be close. Just because you said Seahawks, I'll go 49ers. Just do that.
Did we pick you know? Any of the same teams except Jacksonville and Jacksonville, Kansas City,
the Panthers,
my boys,
which is just. What the heck, you know?
Yeah, that one literally is just like, just
it's just, point we're just hating on Derek yeah. Carr because that's where I find happiness. yeah, I think every time was different.
So I think
it's good.
We
can't be one dimensional on here.
Some cold takes or hot takes. We'll find out in January.
Cold takes. Hey, guys, they're not going anywhere. Okay. Always cold takes. Well, yeah, that's going to wrap up today's episode. First, we're going to hit our Bible verse of the day. Pretty common one. Probably heard around, you know, the sports world. It gets, I don't know, like a little like worldly twist put on it. But like deep down, like it still is like a really good like Bible verse. And talks about like friendships and like relationships and how we're supposed to, you know, pick each other up and stuff. And it's Proverbs 27:17, which says, iron sharpens iron. As one man sharpens another. Yeah, just gonna have each other's backs out there, you know? Just lift each other up. I'm sure we've said this before, like after during the Bible verse segment, there's just too much negativity going on. Like sports are back, okay? That's one reason to be happy and put a smile
here.
On someone else's face. Okay. Your
here.
Team is gonna break your heart, but you need to have a boy that's gonna help lift you back up. All right. I digress. That's gonna wrap today's episode. We'll see y'all next time, next week. Stay frosty.